Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. It might seem that way at times, but not everything at Customs and Border Protection has to do with processing illegals trying to cross the Rio Grande. The customs part of the agency is also busy. CBP operates 10 centers of excellence and expertise. Recently, they all came up to full capacity. Joining me with what they do and how they work, Susan Thomas, Acting Director of Trade Operations at CBP. Ms. Thomas, great to have you on.
Thank you so much.
These 10 centers, where are they located in the country?
We have 10 centers that are strategically placed throughout the country. We have 10 industries that cover all importations. The Agriculture and Prepared for Products Center is managed out of Miami. Apparel, footwear, and textiles is managed out of San Francisco. The Automotive and Aerospace Center is managed out of Detroit. Base Metal Center is managed out of Chicago. Consumer Products and Mass Merchandising is managed out of Atlanta. The Electronics Center is managed out of Los Angeles. The Industrial and Manufacturing Materials Center is managed out of Buffalo. Machinery is managed out of Laredo. Petroleum, Natural Gas, and Minerals is managed out of Houston. And the Pharmaceutical, Health, and Chemicals Center is managed out of our New York office.
Now, are these centers standalone buildings near airports or railway centers? Tell us about the physical location of them.
Our center personnel actually exists throughout the country. So we staff these centers with existing resources and support the operational matters at the ports of entry. So our center employees are involved in the process of risk management and looking at shipments entering the U.S. based on industry to determine level of risk, and work alongside our CBP officers in making admissibility and examination decisions. But we strategically place the center personnel throughout the country with nexus to where the cargo import and where our existing trade resource can be supported.
And are they looking for illicit goods or maybe counterfeit goods or dangerous goods while they're inspecting what is coming through?
Yeah, so whether it's the clothes you're wearing, the car you're driving, the flowers you bought your spouse, or the toys your children are playing with, if they were imported, our personnel in these centers ensure that the proper duties were collected and that the products do not pose serious and health and safety hazards. In addition, they play a very important role in ensuring that counterfeit and pirated products do not enter the U.S. commerce, because those products threaten our economic security by hurting legitimate businesses who invest significant amounts to protect their brand.
And how can they tell if something, say there's a shipping container, how do they know what's in it is legit?
They work with our CBP officers, and they work with our laboratory personnel at our and to determine if we take a sample and we compare it to the information that we have on file from the brand and trademark holders to ensure that it's legitimate. And if it's not, we're going to detain it, and we're going to ask the importer for information before we release it into the commerce.
And I imagine there are certain countries or maybe even certain shipping lines, you know, origin spots that might raise red flags more often than, say, you know, Lufthansa coming from the heart of the German manufacturing territory.
And that all plays into our risk assessment. We look at where there's been areas of noncompliance in the past, you know, what is the country of origin? Who is the shipper? Who is the importer? All plays into our risk segmentation when we're trying to determine. We want to ensure that we allow the legitimate cargo to flow freely into the country while we work to ensure that any illicit cargo is detained and eventually possibly not entered into the country.
And if a U.S. business wants to get into the importing business, is there advice and information they can get from Customs and Border Protection that will help them with what the complexities of doing that, of importing?
Yes, and we know that the global economic situation is quite complex, and each of these industries has very unique situation. So I encourage anyone who wants to import into any of these industries that they contact the center. We have import specialists there that can help them with the how to import and provide some advice on the import process. And in fact, we have information on our website, www.cbp.gov, information on all 10 centers. And there's contact information so that the importers can reach out and ask those questions that they have.
We're speaking with Susan Thomas, Acting Director for Trade Operations Division at Customs and Border Protection. And I also wanted to ask you with regard to these centers, or at least CBP itself, maybe it's a headquarters issue, but how do you work and cooperate with the U.S. Trade Representative?
We work with many of the other partner government agencies at the federal, state, and local level. We work in concert to ensure that all U.S. trade laws are enforced. It's all about ensuring that legitimate goods enter to the country as quickly and securely as possible, while ensuring that we strengthen our key trade enforcement capabilities. And that's so important that we work with our partner government agencies. USTR is just one of those that we work with in the trade arena.
And so there are people that are at the embarkation points, if that's the right word, for when stuff comes in. But there's also offices nearby where a lot of the, policy and regulatory work happens.
A lot of the policy and regulatory work does come out of headquarters offices, whether it's at CBP or our partner government agencies. For CBP, those officials that are at our ports of entry or at these centers are our operational folks that are implementing the policy that is created at headquarters.
So at the centers of excellence, the apparel and footwear, as you said, in San Francisco, natural gas and minerals in Houston makes sense, base metals in Chicago, do the imported goods pass through the centers physically before they go on to wherever they're being distributed to?
Oh, so in the past, or traditionally, an importer could have used up to 60 ports of entry to import their products into the United States, and they would deal with CBP personnel at each of those 60 ports of entry. Now, the cargo will still continue to import into whatever port of entry the importer wants to bring their goods into, but now they'll work with one of the 10 centers, and that center will be their central point of contact for their trade and post-release activities. And so rather than dealing with 60 people or 60 ports of entry, now they're going to deal with one center, and they're going to get a consistent, uniform, predictable decision-making from CBP.
So even though they might be coming in at some point up the coast, say, like one of the centers is in Los Angeles, if they're coming into, San Diego, for example, they would still deal at some level with the Los Angeles office?
That's correct. So you still have CBP officers, CBP agriculture specialists, and other personnel that are, still on our front line at the borders. But then the post-release activity related to that transaction will now be done on an industry-focused, account-based process from that one center that they're aligned to.
Now, the people that are running each of the centers, what level of government service are they, and what kind of people do you try to get in place to operate the centers?
So our center directors are equivalent to a port director. They fall within our Office of Field Operations organizational structure. They report to a director of field operations at a field office, just as our port directors do.
And how much interaction do they have with shippers and also the shipping media, the ships and the planes and all of that?
Our centers play a very key role in outreach and information sharing with all of our trade stakeholders. And that's not just the importers. It could be exporters, brokers, filers, port terminals. It's even our stakeholders overseas that are, transacting this business with our importers.
And how is the software application support for all of this? Because I know that for many years, the agency has been working on updating the trade systems that support all this and seeing the manifests while the ships are still at sea and this kind of thing. How's that all coming along?
It's coming along great. Our automated commercial environment, which we reference as ACE, we continue to deploy functionality. We fully expect by the end of December 2016 that ACE will be fully deployed for all aspects of the trade process.
So when ACE comes online, that's really a cause for celebration.
It is, and it aligns with our centers perfectly because, as you heard, our personnel are throughout the United States, all reporting to one of our 10 centers, and this allows us to, move work virtually to our staff and really move work more quickly so that the trade has a more responsive answer from us.
Susan Thomas is Acting Director of Trade Operations at Customs and Border Protection. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to discuss this significant milestone for our agency and the outstanding work of our CBP personnel.
You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends. Still to come on Federal News Radio, IDIQ contracts simplify repeat buys, but that doesn't mean they don't come with rules, as the Postal Service found out. It's the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.